Let's take our Bibles to the book of Galatians this morning, Galatians and chapter 5. We're going to start here in Galatians and chapter 5. We're going to be beginning here in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And now for the key verse here today. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." We'll pause in our reading there and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have read here this morning and from your holy word. And I pray that you would help us to consider what areas in our life might be hindering us from obeying you, hindering us from knowing the fullness and fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray that through this year we would not waste this year. We would not twiddle it away by foolish things, but that we would get our focus upon you and your will and serving you with our whole heart. Lord, that we might be a vessel that's pleasing to you. Father, we thank you for this. We ask your blessing on this time. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might speak forth your truth, and that hearts might be stirred through the Word of God. We thank you for this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as this being the third Sunday here in this new year, we had, first of all, we had a season to press on. A season to press on. Pressing on following Jesus. Following Jesus, giving heed to his direction and abiding in his strength. And secondly, we saw in a season to press on, anticipating his return from our Titus 2 passage. Anticipating his return, the hope of Christ's soon return. Also, number three, being zealous of good works. God wants us to be zealous of good works in this world. Last week we saw how we must walk in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God, his guidance and his strength, that we might do the will of God, that we might be a fruit-bearing Christian. It is essential, just like the branch in John 15 needs the vine, Jesus, so every one of us needs that abiding in Christ to bring forth fruit. We must depend moment by moment upon Jesus. The branch withers quickly when not connected to the vine. That's not talking about, you know, in and out of salvation. Once we're saved, we're saved. But in illustratively, Jesus compares the believer there to the branches, and we must remain connected, that vital connection, vital submission, that the vital life-giving sap of Jesus might flow through our lives. In illustratively there, comparing that to the Holy Spirit working through us. And so it's important for us to remain walking with Jesus. Be strong in the Lord, we saw in Ephesians 6:10. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, we saw the command to be filled with the Spirit. The word filled means to be controlled by. We must submit ourselves to God and be controlled by the Holy Spirit who wants to lead us and guide us. We saw about how it's important illustratively for us to be yoked up with Jesus, to be submitting in that joint effort of doing His will. Thank God we have not to do it alone, but with God's aid. And so, praise the Lord for that. Now, today, we're going to talk about what did hinder you. Now, I see that the text here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, our text here says, who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? But the title of my message is, what did hinder you? What did hinder you? The who here was those who came in bringing teachings that were not according to the Scripture. They were leading people away from the simple truth there is in Jesus. They were leading people back to the Jewish rituals, back to circumcision and these physical rituals as a means of salvation, as a means of getting righteousness. And Paul writes to the Galatians and says, no, no, don't go back to the bondage of the law. Don't go back to that. You can't keep the law. The law shows you your need. It is your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. And he emphasizes that throughout this book of Galatians. And he says, stand fast, Galatians verse chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He has broken that yoke of bondage, that yoke to the law. We are freed from the law. That doesn't mean we go around living recklessly and lawlessly, but we are freed from that as the requirement for righteousness. Because if just simply living by the checks of do and don't, we will fail and we will come up very short. We've already proved that through human history and even the history of our own lives. We need the grace of God. His salvation, His righteousness legally applied to our account. That is a description of salvation where Christ takes our sin record away and He gives us His righteous, holy, perfect record. This is our righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that is the way of salvation. Adding anything to that, adding any works to the gospel, perverts the gospel. And he says here, it is no longer grace. Look at verse 4, Galatians 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Grace is freely bestowed for those who do not deserve it. And you don't deserve God's salvation, and I don't deserve God's salvation, but God offered it to sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us never forget that. He came for the likes of us, for those who could not. He came. And in simple faith, we have been saved if we indeed have trusted Christ. And if you haven't trusted Christ, if someone joining even online this morning has not trusted Jesus, you can trust Him today. You can call on Him. He is still saving sinners. And so, Christ is our life. There's no salvation without Jesus, but Jesus is the full package, the full package. He did all the work. Now, as a saved person, we haven't been saved to go on living the same old way. We haven't been saved to live in sin. Sin always brings bondage. God's desire is that we would live to do the will of God. That is His desire. In our memory verses there, We see that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously and soberly in this present world. That is God's desire. His desire is not that we would live for our lusts, not that we would live in the bondage of sin, but that we've been liberated from that. We've been liberated from the law. We've been liberated from the damnation the law brought because of our crimes. We've been liberated from that. Liberated for what purpose? To live for Jesus. To live for Jesus. We've been freed so that we can obey God, so that we can, with God's help, do right and walk with Jesus. And when we stumble, get that right and move forward and serve God in our lives. And so this is God's desire for every child of His, for every person, that they would get saved, become a true child of God, and then follow Him, follow the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, as he writes to the Galatians, says here, what did hinder you? Or he says, who did hinder you? And notice verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The requirements these Judaizers are putting on you, he said, that's not of God. It's not God's will. He's not calling you to go back to the old rituals. He is calling you to submit to the Spirit of God. Submission to the Spirit of God. We are saved that we might walk with God, having God's truth guiding us in daily life. And so, for salvation, it's all of Christ. By faith alone, we have been saved. And notice down here in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The liberating grace of God is not so that we can live selfishly. And so let's look here this morning. As we think about the Galatians, as Paul asks here in verse 7, who hindered you? We can see that what was hindering these Galatians from moving forward for God was unbiblical thinking. Unbiblical thinking. And so they had this idea of law keeping, keeping the rituals, even of circumcision, as an essential component to their salvation. And Paul says, no, that is unbiblical thinking. That persuasion comes not of the one who called you. That is not of God. And so he warns them about this. You know, in our lives in 2022, hopefully there's not something that's hindering you, but you know, we could ask the same question in some evaluation of our life. What is hindering us from doing the will of God, from really following Jesus and serving Him with our life? What or who is hindering you? Who is hindering you? Paul asked. Unbiblical thinking. They were listening to the wrong people. There were teachers. There were YouTubers. There were an online community. Perhaps not in that day, but today. And they were listening to things that were not scripturally based. Things that were maybe flashy. Things that were very persuasive, but things that were not according to Scripture. Not according to the simple and clear teaching of the Bible. And we must guard against all of the online teachers. I'm not saying that every teacher online, but you have to get the idea that we can get information out there. The information is everywhere. And if we're not careful, we'll be drifting away from the simple truth of what God says in His Word. We need to be first and foremost students of the Bible. Students of God's holy word. That is essential in our lives. And so, unbiblical thinking. Is there thinking that has snuck into your life that is not in line with Jesus? Not in line with the one who's called you? Unbiblical thinking. You know, sometimes these things are below the surface in our life, an attitude we have that's very complaining maybe about everything. You know what we talked here in the end of last year about a biblical view of God, right? It's important for us to have a biblical view of everything, starting with God and starting with His love and all of these things, a biblical view, if our thinking is not according to Scripture, if our attitude is not in line with the attitude God says we should have, which is what? In everything rejoice. For this is the will of God. In everything give thanks. This is God's desire. We as Christians cannot go through life griping, grumbling, complaining. It's always someone else's fault. Oh no, my friend, that's unbiblical thinking. We need to go through life praying, go through life thanking God for His mercies and calling on Him in our times of need and times not as needy. We still need to call on Him. We need to live biblical lives. And so maybe you have thinking patterns that are ingrained, that are not according to Scripture. Some of our challenges may not be this going back to circumcision and law keeping for righteousness, for salvation, but maybe there's other areas of unbiblical thinking. They're below the surface. They're hidden from plain sight, maybe plain as the nose on our face, but yet we're somewhat oblivious. We need to seek God. Lord, what areas have been not right in the way I've been thinking about life? God will help us to see those things. You know, in doing snow removal, I've been asked recently to make paths to people's propane tanks. Ooh, it's a dangerous occupation. Because, you know, in people's backyards, there can be lots of things hidden under 2 feet of snow. Whether it's a child's toy, whether it's an old shovel or a rake, whether it's a brick, that one sheared a pin. There are things that I try to stay away as much, and I try to walk through before I would go into an area like that. But you know, there's been a few. Thankfully, I haven't other than that shear pin, I haven't had any issues. But sometimes you have to be careful. Sometimes there's something under the surface. The other day I was doing one, and there was a block. Now I was elevated enough off the ground that I was able to discover it before even really hitting it, but it was a cement block. These are things you find buried in people's yards. When they say sometimes, "Oh, there's nothing there," "Oh, nothing there, nothing there." Well, how about in your life? Unbiblical thinking. "Oh, there's nothing there." How about you pray about it? How about we consider what areas the Lord would show to us that are not according to the one who's called us. The next thing that we're going to identify here of what did hinder you? Well, there's unbiblical thinking that can really hinder our walk with the Lord, hinder our growth for God, hinder our fruitfulness. But another one is fleshly living. Fleshly living. Look here at our verses in Galatians 5. Verse 13 says, "Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." By love serve one another. You see, our liberty is not for an occasion to do what we want, to do the fleshly things, to fulfill our lust. It's not like, wow, you know, God's grace is so abundant, so I'll just ask forgiveness later, and I can just live this way, and I don't have to take the Christian life all that seriously, because, after all, God will forgive me. And, you know, we have this kind of a little bit of a loose interpretation of how we should live the Christian life, our Christian life. Fleshly living, indulging in things of the flesh. You know, in 1 John, let's turn over there to 1 John. Back here, almost toward Revelation, 1 John chapter 1. Consider what the Bible says, beginning with verse number 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, read it together with me, we lie and do not the truth. You see, fleshly living comes pretty easy for all of us. It's our default setting. You don't have to teach someone to walk in the flesh. It's our natural response to life. It's our natural way of handling life. We need to be intentional about walking in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so here in 1 John, it's warning us and exposing to us that if we say we have fellowship with God, we say we're walking with God, but if we're walking in darkness, we're lying. We're deceiving ourselves. Notice verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, friend, as we walk in the light, as we respond to God, we say, Lord, this is wrong in my life. I see that. I'm turning that over to you. That's walking in the light. We see the cleansing blood of Christ available to us to get right, to stay right, to keep on the right path. Walk in the light. That's where Jesus is. That's where fellowship is. Walking with God. That's where the power of God is to be a fruit-bearing Christian. What did hinder you? Unbiblical thinking. Fleshly living. Fleshly living. And third, resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Look over here at Ephesians 4. Ephesians and chapter 4. Look at verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I know for certain this is written to a believer, someone who is saved. And it is warning us to not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. This is a person who knows Christ as their Savior. This is not the lost. Oh, my friend, the people you can hurt the worst are the people who love you the most. That is so true. You know, if somebody who you don't even know, does something or says something to you and you're not even sure who they are, it really shouldn't hurt you that much. You know, it's like, well, they don't even, we don't even know them. Not that we should still respond kindly and even to those who are mean to us. We ought to extend love and kindness to them. But you know what? The people who can potentially hurt us the worst are those who are nearest to us or are closest to us, who love us. And I'll tell you what, with the Holy Spirit, He loves you. He cares about you. And for us to resist Him, for us to say no to Him, for us to go on doing what He is saying, don't do that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't respond that way. And we say, this is what I'm doing. This is the way I'm going. I want to be angry. And he is grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, God says to us, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He has got us. We are secure in him. And how tragic for us to neglect him, to push his nudges away, to resist him. Again, we're talking about the Christian's life, Christian living, although right now this doesn't sound very Christian when we're living not listening to God. And so it's important for us to recognize these things can hinder us resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Look back here in Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Here we have contrasted the saved person, who's the subject of this book, the saved person who's in Christ. And it's saying, don't walk like the unsaved live. Don't live like they live. How do they live? In the vanity of their mind, in the corruption of their thinking. They live for the flesh. They live for what satisfies right then and there, just for the things of this world. Don't live that way. Verse 18, talking about the lost having their understanding darkened. Their eyes haven't been opened to the spiritual truth. Alienated they are from the life of God. You aren't. We have the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're greedy. They're following lusts and corruptions. That's the lost. And God is saying to us, don't live that way. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Look at verse 21, or actually verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. See again? In Galatians, the Galatians were being persuaded in verse 8. Persuaded contrary to the one who called them. And here we are in danger of resisting the Holy Spirit and walking in the flesh and living like the lost. But Paul says here, as he writes to the Ephesians, ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him. Are you listening? Have you heard him? Because he's talking. He says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you'll hear his voice. He says, if ye have heard him. Now, Paul here, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is not scratching his head and saying, I wonder if the Holy Spirit hasn't been talking to you, Ephesian believers. Oh, maybe he hasn't been leading you like he's been leading me. That's not what Paul was saying. Paul is asking this question here with the obvious answer. He's been talking. Why aren't you listening? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We need to turn away from the fleshly living, from the lusts of our old man, our old nature. And he goes in verse 22 to say, put off those old things, the former way of living, the former conversation, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, deceiving desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If we are going to have biblical thinking, spirit-filled living, and submission to the Holy Spirit, we need to renew our mind in the Spirit. Notice what it says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's why every day we need to start our day seeking God. That's why throughout the day we need to have a heart and an attitude that is saying, Lord, your help, your strength today. Lord, your guidance today. Lord, what would you like me to do today? And really an attitude that is directed towards God and His help and His guidance. And when you face challenges, how Lord, do you want me to respond? Notice putting on the new man, created in righteousness and true holiness. Just like we get dressed in the morning, God is illustratively saying you need to recognize the old ways, your old man. He wants to rule your life still, but you don't have to go that way. Take those clothes off, as it were. Put on the new man. Step forward seeking God, submitting to God, having biblical thinking, having Spirit-filled living. And as God directs, saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To the one who's tempted to lie, verse 25, he says, God hasn't called us to lie. He's called us to be men of truth, women of truth. Truth tellers. You say, oh, well, I just kind of, cutting the corners a little bit and they'll never know. Is that biblical thinking? No. Lord, truth. Put away lying, he says. Put away that deceptive way. What about anger? Verse 26. Anger so often leads us down a very sinful path of uncontrolled rage. Things said that should never be said. And more. Angry. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Talks about stealing. We should not steal. This is not God's will. But rather, to give and be generous. You know, God's not called us to greediness, but to generosity, to kindness, to love. Corrupt communication, verse 29, of different kinds. Communication that tears down, that breaks down, that's malicious, that's hurtful and harmful. And God says, that shouldn't be in your life. But rather that which is helpful, which is truthful, which is building up, which is edifying, ministering grace to the hearers. Notice verse 31 goes on a long list that we don't have time to go into each one, but bitterness. Is that of God? Is that God's desire for you to go around being bitter and angry and wrathful and clamoring about all the things people do wrong and evil speaking? Oh, you wouldn't believe what that person did to me. And with malice, the desire to, I'll get even with him. Is that of God? No, that's not of God. What is of God? Be kind one to another. You say, oh, that's for sissies. I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. Oh, that's not of God. That's unbiblical thinking. Be kind. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When do you need to forgive someone else? When they've done you wrong. When they've hurt you. And you extend forgiveness. You release that offense. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Think of what He's forgiven on our account. Oh, Christian living, what did hinder you? Paul asked, who did hinder you, Galatians? We can see unbiblical thinking, no doubt fleshly living will hinder you and resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Can I ask you, friend, What cement blocks are hiding in your backyard? They're covered up. Hard to even know that they're there. But maybe they need to be dug up and dealt with. What is in your life? What is hindering you? We want to go forward for Jesus, following Him, walking with Him. Oh, if we walk in the darkness, we can say we have fellowship, but truth is we don't. We must walk in the light and know the cleansing of His blood on our account. We can get right. That's the emphasis of the verse there. We can get right. Oh, praise God. We don't have to say, well, I'm just too far gone, or there's just too much to find in my backyard. No, God wants us to walk through it with Him and confess it and find His cleansing, to get right, that there be nothing to hinder us from doing the will of God and following Jesus with our whole heart. How is it with you, friend? So we take our songbook. Is there something in your life maybe I haven't even mentioned, but the Holy Spirit is talking to you about? Friend, you need to take care of that. You need to take care of that. You need to find a place of prayer. Confess that for what it is, and allow God to help you to get that right.